It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaden. Presented by Women's Excellence. Now here's your host, Marie Osborne.
Welcome back to another edition of the Healthy Woman Show. Dr. Zaden, great to hear from you and see you once again. Big topic this month, it is Bladder Health Awareness Month.
Yeah, it's, I think we went through this last year. I can't believe how fast a year goes by, especially with everything that's gone on with COVID and everything that's been interrupted. But the truth of the matter is that there is a Bladder Health Awareness a month so that we can kind of make sure that people are aware that there's treatments now available for their bladder.
And we're also launching a new segment called Ask the Doc.
I am super excited about this. This is going to change up the show a little bit. You know, we've been doing this for a couple of years, and we think that this is going to be pretty fun, and people have actually asked us to do it. So they want to ask questions, and we are opening that forum up now, and it should be an interesting segment. I'm going to have fun with this.
And we love hearing from our listeners, and we'll have more info about that coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to The Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. As we said, it's Bladder Health Awareness Month. Dr. Zaden, I know you have much to talk about on this topic. Again, one of the topics that nobody ever wants to talk about. Nobody ever wants to talk about bladder leakage or anything that has to do with that.
Well, they put this whole month in place, like we talked about in our opener, right? They put it in place because nobody wants to talk about it, and they need to get some awareness to it, right? At one time, that was breast cancer, and now we hear people talking about it, and they get treated, and things have gotten a lot better from a medical perspective. And now it's bladder, right? So, you know, as we've gotten older as a population and as we've increased our activities, you know, maintaining bladder control is paramount to the things that we want to do. People are skiing at age 50, 60 years old. They're playing tennis. They're doing, you know, a lot of activities. And after they have children, sometimes they have problems with their bladder. And there's also many other reasons they have problems. So I think it's very, very important that for people to know that there are millions of Americans that struggle with these types of things. At some point, they say at least 30% of all women have stress urinary incontinence when they leak, when they do activity. So this is a big deal.
And I want to sneak in a question here, and that is this a question of age, or can this affect any woman at any age?
Oh, I don't think it's a question of age now. It's really a question of, have you had any pelvic floor damage? So if you've had pelvic floor damage or if you have other other disease processes, you can get it when you're younger. But clearly, I mean, as you get older, your tissues weaken. And as those tissues weaken, your ability to maintain bladder control weakens a bit as well. So it is related to age, but it can happen to all different age groups. I even see people in that when they're 16, 18 years old with certain bladder condition.
So what types of treatment options do women have when it comes to these types of bladder problems, urinary leakage? And are we just talking about a solution that involves disposable undergarments or Depends or something like that?
Well, the answer is no. There's a ton of different things. And really, the types of bladder problems that women face are stress urinary incontinence when you leak with cough and sneeze. And there's some simple procedures that we do now to fix that. And there's pelvic floor strengthening. We've talked about our Imcella program that helps strengthen the pelvic floor to help with mild stress urinary incontinence. Then there's something called intrinsic sphincter deficiency. That's just for the doctors out there. But what that really is urinary dribbling, right? So with urinary dribbling, there's some simple injections that we can do for that. So if you just get a little bit of leakage once in a while, sometimes we can take care of that with some simple stuff where there's no actual cutting. It's just some injectional techniques that we use. And then there's the, you know, condition of overactive bladder, right? You've probably heard somewhere along the way, Marie, somebody say, I gotta go right now. It was a commercial.
Well, yes.
That is a mantra now. I mean, we hear it all the time because people come into my office and say, man, that commercial was me. I don't even think they're running the commercial anymore, but clearly it resonated with a lot of people. That's what we call overactive bladder or urinary frequency. And we can do a lot of things for that. One, it was included that commercial was for medications. And we can definitely use medications to help that. Another option would be Botox. We talk so much about Botox as the cosmetic side, but Botox also relaxes not only the muscles in your forehead, but the muscles in your bladder. So if it can relax those muscles in your bladder, oftentimes you'll do a little bit better from a urinary frequency or overactive bladder perspective. And then we have a guest coming on where there's a new device out, and it's actually not a new device, not a new concept, but a new device. It's called Axonics, but it's really a product called neurosacral modulation. And that helps to, it's like a, almost like a pacemaker for your bladder. So there's some things that, you know, are coming down the pike that are going to make this even easier if medications and things like Botox don't work or are inconvenient to do. And then, you know, then you've got all kinds of other stuff like urinary retention. That's probably the most difficult one that we treat. And we've got devices for that as well. So we'll be talking about that later.
When we talk about treatment options that we may have for these kinds of problems, are people reluctant? Are your patients often reluctant, let's say, to engage with some a Botox treatment because of the area that it involves? I think people might be concerned about that.
Well, I think people are reluctant in general to get their bladder fixed because they're afraid that it might get worse. And let me tell you, that's one of the biggest fears we have with everything, right? It's like, let's just leave it alone because we don't want to make it any worse. But the truth of the matter is that the things that we have available for us are very, very safe, and they work, and they improve people's quality of life. So people have to just get over that. And what I see with patients is that people feel like, oh, I'm not sure if I want to do that. So they have that initial fear. But there's other patients, and I think that's a bigger subset of the population, and I think that's because of this bladder awareness month, that say, you know what, I want my bladder fixed. They come in and their mindset is to get it fixed, and it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's Botox or a procedure or an injection. They just want something to help them out because they know that it's now a problem and they know that we can help them.
And I know that not too long ago, we had treatments for these kinds of problems that often just didn't work. So I'm sure people are reluctant to even try anything because they're afraid, I just don't think it's going to work. Why should I try it?
So I'm dating myself again on this show, but when I started 22 years ago, and when I was in residency four before that, right, that one thing that was clear was that the procedure that we did had a 50% success rate at 5 years.
Wow.
50% of the time it worked after 5 years. And quite frankly, I didn't do a lot of them because of that. And because I knew that, you know, they weren't as successful as we would want a procedure to be. And I only did those people that it was really significantly impacting their life. And I thought we did a pretty good job because we had about a 60 to 70% success rate in those early procedures that we did. But the technology has changed amazingly. Okay. And now we get like 90% success rates, if not more than that. And people are really happy, and it's much less invasive. So what you heard about, I guess I would say it this way. Your grandmother's bladder suspension isn't the bladder suspension that you're going to get.
So technology on our side when it comes to fixing bladder problems. You're listening to Dr. Jonathan Zaden on the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. We'll continue with a special guest when we come back talking about what's new when it comes to bladder health. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR with Dr. Jonathan Zaden of Women's Excellence. We have a special guest joining us, Dr. Karen Noblette. She is the Chief Medical Officer at Axonics, a board-certified OBGYN in female pelvic medicine and reconstructive surgery. Dr. Noblette, we're so glad you could join us here today to talk a little more about bladder health.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Karen, it's a pleasure to have you on our show. Our goal is always to educate our listeners about all the different topics, and this month is Bladder Health Awareness Month, so we felt that it would be great to not only talk a little bit about the treatment for bladder, but also the fact that we have new technologies available. I think that's really important, and it's absolutely a pleasure to have you on the show to kind of give people an idea of what companies are doing on the back end to overall improve the quality of life for women.
And Dr. Noblette, we had just finished up a segment here with Dr. Zaden where he talked a lot about, gave us a quick overview about the common urinary type problems that there are, bladder health problems that there are, kind of trying to take a little bit of the stigma from these problems away and opening the dialogue. So we wanted to have you on to ask, what is new in treating patients with overactive bladder?
You know, that's really a great question. And, you know, as we look about the, you know, these conditions, and, you know, I'm glad that we're talking about this, and in November is Bladder Health Awareness Month. And I think that that is such a key word, awareness. So many women and men suffer from these conditions, and they're afraid to talk about it. As you mentioned, the word stigma. So they are afraid to bring this up, and there's a lot of misperceptions about incontinence. You know, it's a normal part of aging. There's really nothing I can do. And that, I think, has halted some of the innovation, I think, in these areas of what we do and what we can offer women. We talk about, you know, for overactive bladder, the use of behavioral modifications. And those have been around for, you know, many, many years. And we talk about fluid management and reducing bladder irritants. And then with medications, for the longest time, we've had primarily anticholinergic medications. And while effective, they are associated with side and of course, there's a growing body of evidence implicating the anticholinergics association with dementia and cognitive dysfunction. And about 10 years ago, we had a new class of medications come on the market. These were beta-3 agonists that could help with overactive bladder as well, but didn't have quite the side effect profile. So, you know, we were left with these kind of behavioral kinds of things, pharmacological therapies. But sacral neuromodulation has been a therapy that's been around for over 20 years. However, like we kind of talk about it at Axonics, it's kind of a hidden therapy. It's kind of a secret therapy in that patients are really have not been aware of it. And they're, I think part of it is there hasn't been innovation in the field, I think, until Axonics really came to the market. And with sacral neuromodulation, although it's not per se a new therapy, we provided a lot of innovation that has excited physicians and excited patients about now adopting this therapy into their life.
Well, one of the things, Karen, that I see, you know, on a daily basis is that, you know, patients, you know, oftentimes are stuck with medicines that they are taking that do give them side effects, because some of the newer medicines that you've discussed, they can't get covered under their insurance. So that's, you know, that's one thing that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense considering we're in the United States of America, but sometimes they can't even get the medicines. And then when those medicines don't work is when we typically go towards, you know, something like neurosacral modulation. So you know, for our listeners, can you just describe what the indications are for using a device like this, and then and also how easy it is to place and use?
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think you're right. I mean, a lot of our patients get stuck in this, you know, sort of pathway of, you know, going from one medication to another. And as you know, the there's a large, you know, discontinuation rate of the medications out to 1 year, with maybe 20, at most, maybe 40% of patients staying on a medication. So currently the indications for sacral neuromodulation include overactive bladder, which, you know, is that umbrella term that includes urgency frequency as well as urgency incontinence. It's also indicated for fecal incontinence, which, again, is a huge you know, condition that affects quality of life, and then also non-obstructive urinary retention. And one of the things that we are really trying to do is increase awareness about this therapy so that patients aren't stuck taking a medication that may not be effective or maybe causing, you know, untoward side effects, and getting them down that care pathway into third line therapies, which is, you know, sacral neuromodulation being one of the most commonly used. And one of the great things about this therapy, and as a surgeon, it's one of the advantages, is that we can actually try this therapy. So we can offer sacral neuromodulation to a patient, and they can, what we say, take it for a trial run or a test drive, and they can try it out, and they get to decide with the physician, so that shared decision-making model, on whether or not they think this therapy is going to be effective for them. So as you know, there's really no other surgery that we can actually trial before we actually, you know, have the patient commit to it. And so that is a huge advantage for patients.
Well, I love it because I love the therapy now, because, you know, at one time we had devices that were larger, and you know, they were just more problematic, and there were some restrictions on what you could do. Like if you needed an MRI exam, for example, with the therapy, you couldn't necessarily get that. And now that your newer device here has kind of solved a lot of these issues, and it's very, very small, little implantable device that we put underneath the skin in the buttock. And the other day, I had a patient that came back in and said, "I cannot feel the device at all. Are you sure it's in there?" And I said, "Well, is it working?" And she said, "Well, yeah, it's working great." I said, "Well, it's in there. You just can't feel it." So, I mean, it's in you know, it's placed in so easily. I guess, you know, one of the things that I would like the patients to know is that, so would you say that, you know, this is a game changer in our field if you don't want to take medicines?
Oh, absolutely. And I've felt that way for many, many years, very passionate about this therapy. And now, as you've, you know, mentioned, we've, you know, innovated in a way that was very customer centric. And so we actually, before we developed a product, we actually interviewed the physicians and we interviewed the patients. And that's what informed the design of our product. And as you mentioned, it's very small. We want a miniaturized device. So at 5 cc's, you know, it's 1/3 the size of the predicate device. We intentionally made it so that you could have an MRI, 1.5 and 3T. So it was designed specifically for that. 15 years approved a life in the body. So you don't have to go return to the operating room, you know, every 3 to 5 years to have that battery replaced. Now, the patients charge their device once a month with a very easy recharging device. And so we actually did, you know, our homework ahead of time. And we talked to patients who were using rechargeable devices. And that, again, we got to go to school and learn what patients really wanted out of a device. And so that's what we designed. And then you as my colleague, I could come to you as a peer and say, they gave us physicians everything that we wanted in a sacral neuromodulation device. And some of the things we didn't even know we wanted, like constant current. I hadn't thought about how we're delivering the energy. You know, constant current is an advantage in that it automatically overcomes the tissue impedance. So patients don't have to use their remote, you know, often to bring that out and increase the stimulation to keep them in that therapeutic zone. So I think that's why we're also seeing the huge amount of success that we've seen in our clinical trials.
What I love about this device in particular, and one of the reasons why I wanted to highlight it to our listeners, is that, you know, in medicine, people don't realize the advances that we're making on a regular basis. And they're coming not only from learning about, you know, genetics and how to screen them. And we talk about that on this show. And then they're coming from new medications that are, you know, different. And then also engineering. And this is like a perfect example. I mean, again, you mentioned this is a very, very tiny device compared to the previous device, 1/5 the size, I believe you said, Karen. Is that right?
About 1/3. You know, we're thinking about 14 cc's, we're about 5 cc's.
Yeah, 1/3 the size with way more functionality. And then what I always think of is always what, you know, what the tech people call the GUI, or the, you know, the user interface, right? And the user interface on this is so much easier, and so much easier for the patient to get a better, you know, better result. They don't have to really be, you know, an engineer to use this device. It works on its own, and it really helps them. So, you know, if there's one thing that you would want to tell people, if I had 20 patients right now listening that had overactive bladder, why would you tell them to use Axonix?
You know, I think because sacral neuromodulation actually restores functionality. It restores that normal function. And we think there's, you know, abnormal communication. And it really, we have long-term data that shows improvement, not only in symptoms, but significant improvement in quality of life. And I think that that is so important, and that there's very little downside to trialing this therapy, because it can have a huge impact on really all domains of quality of life.
Dr. Karen Noblett is the Chief Medical Officer at Exonics, and we, of course, are talking about bladder health awareness and the treatment of overactive bladder. Dr. Noblett, thank you so much for joining us today, really shedding some good light and has some great data on the solutions that are available with people who suffer with overactive bladder. Thanks for joining us here on the Healthy Woman Show. We are talking Bladder Health Awareness Month here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. Dr. Jonathan Zaden alongside from Women's Excellence, as he always is. What a great discussion with Dr. Noblett, Dr. Zaden. I can't believe the technology and its advancements. You talked about earlier in the show about how it used to be that maybe 50% of your patients could be treated with the programs that you had available years ago. It's a different ballgame.
It's great always to get a colleague, you know, an esteemed colleague on the radio, because, you know, you learn a little bit from them too. I didn't know the 1/3 versus 1/5 size, right? I just know it's small. It's like the size of a small zip drive that you put in your computer now. And it's so easy to insert. It's so much different to insert. The first time I used it, I'm like, this is so much different. And it kind of reminds me of everything that we do, right? You know, you get a new phone and you can get on the internet and all that. And and at one time we couldn't do any of that, right? And when we first did, it took forever for it to load. And now my phone is sometimes faster than my computer, right? So, I mean, it's just the technology here is just amazing. And what I like about it is that this device is really, she touched on this, but it really is something that they looked at the customer, the patient, and they designed it around the patient. Because so many things that we do in medicine, I think we're pushing on the patient, right? The patient is kind of like that innocent bystander that has to get this therapy. And, you know, some of it works very, very well, and don't get me wrong, but as a whole, it's like we don't think about how they're going to use it. You know, it always reminds me of that when we go to, you know, even when we do surgery, right? I mean, we do the surgery and we do it well, but then the post-operative, you know, care for the patient sometimes, you know, is neglectful, and that we don't always give them every little aspect of what could go wrong, right? Or how somebody recovers after a procedure. So, you know, these people at Exonics, they looked at how it works for the patient. And that's what I'm always trying to do at Women's Excellence, is how does the patient get the best service? And I think they did it with their device, which is, you know, I think going to be a game changer, not only in overactive bladder, but also I think a lot of companies are going to be looking at what Exonics did here. And they're going to start to say, we need to start thinking about our customer, because when we do, it's a home run. And I think a lot of people are going to get a lot of help from neurosacral modulation.
Let's talk a little more about the technology and dealing with bladder health. What's a single incision sling? What is
that? Back when we first started doing, let's take us back a little bit. So, the 50% success rate, after 5 years, that was when we were doing an open incision and sutures around the bladder neck to try to keep people continent when they coughed with laugh and sneeze, or, you know, picking up something heavy. Now we do that in the vagina. There's no incisions on the outside of your body at all. There's very, very little recovery. And it's all done, like I said, through one single incision in the midline of the vagina in an area that really is not that tender. Everybody always thinks of the vagina being very, very tender and scary if you're going to operate in that area. But really, it's the outside of the vaginal vault that's very tender. On the inside, many people don't even know that they had the procedure done when they had it done, other than the fact that, you know, they're in the post-operative recovery. So these are simple, simple procedures now that weren't like that before. So technology is really helping us, do what we do better.
I have to ask, when you're talking again about this single incision sling and about the sacral neuromodulation of the installation of that, does this affect sexual function at all?
No, you know, the sling, it, you know, at this point, we've kind of perfected those, so we don't have too many problems. There's always a risk with any surgery you do. So you can't say that no one will ever experience pain or discomfort, but I can tell you that we place these all the time and people do very, very well. And there's no problem with sexual activity with neurosacral modulation. As a matter of fact, that device is kind of a set it and forget it. That's what Karen Noblett was talking about when she said, you know, hey, you know, we've made it easier so you don't have to go to it all the time and reprogram it. They use constant current now so that you really don't have to do too much for it. You just kind of put it in and it starts to work on its own, and some minimal tweaking of the programs to get it to be optimized, and then you kind of leave it alone and charge it.
And you talked about one of your patients saying, you know, I don't feel it anymore. Are you sure it's there?
Right. I mean, you know, these are funny things when you're in the office, because it's like an epiphany for me about what we're talking about right now. When somebody actually says to you, you know, yeah, I don't even know it's there, and then it's working, but it's working, right? I think to myself, well, you have no idea how lucky we are to have these products today than the first renditions of products that we had in the past, right? And but they don't know that, and I'm just thinking it in my head. It's like, you know, back you know, when we first did our, you know, again, stress urinary incontinence procedures, right? They were in the hospital for 3 days, and they had an incision, you know, side to side on their belly that looked like a C-section incision, and a significant recovery, and they had much less success rate. And now, you know, people are going home out of the post anesthesia recovery room, and they're like, oh, I feel a little bit nauseous or something from the anesthesia. It's very minimal. And, you know, they're walking out and they're leaving, you know, literally sometimes within 45 minutes of having the procedure done, they're now walking out the door. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just not something that you can even fathom. So I always think to myself, boy, we've come a long way, and I'm thankful that we have, because it makes my job better. And, you know, everything about what Karen said on her segment was quality of life. She said that at the end. And I have to say, these new products, these new devices, the new techniques that we've started to perfect, they're all about quality of life. And I think that's the most important thing. That's what we're designing medicine for, is for life. We're designing it for you. We're designing it for your life. We're designing it to make you feel better. And, you know, we certainly want to, you know, optimize that in every way, shape, or form. And I think Axonics, like we just talked about, is a game changer for that. Our single incision slings are a game changer for that. Our injectional products that we can do to stop dribbling are a game changer for that. It's just
amazing. Are talking about Bladder Health Awareness Month here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. When we come back, we're going to kick off a new segment on the show, Ask the Doc. I get the chance to ask the doc all kinds of questions, but now we're going to make it available to you, our listeners. We're going to tell you how that's going to happen when we come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Healthy Woman Show. Dr. Jonathan Zaden, of course, alongside, as he always is, from Women's Excellence. And we are happy to have on board once again Jessica Rosette, Patient Outreach Coordinator for Women's Excellence. Jessica, never a stranger. We love having you on board.
Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, we're glad you're here, because you're going to help us kick off a brand new segment for the show, Ask the Doc. What are we looking at here?
Dr. Zaden, do you want to kind of explain what we're doing here?
I think I'm getting put on the hot seat is what's happening. you know, I mean, obviously we've hosted, Jessica and I, you know, we do this all the time where we're, you know, we host dinners with doctors and webinars and Facebook live events and all these things. But I think the most exciting part of all of those events, right, is we give our, you know, what I call our spiel, right? We tell them what we feel that they need to know. And then people really start to ask the real life questions. And those are the things that always get the chuckles and the laughs and so on and so forth. And so, you know, I think this is, you know, kind of a great idea that Jessica had to kind of, you know, allow our listeners to have input into the show. They've always had input because they, you know, they give us some of the topics that we use and so on and so forth. But this should be pretty interesting. So we'll see how, we'll see how tough it gets here for me, Marie.
So, Jessica, how is it actually going to work?
Well, what we did for this show, we kind of looked back at all of the webinars and events we've done, and we took, you know, three of the hot questions, we would say, that, you know, most people have. But the funny thing is, you know, if they're writing down the question or submitting it anonymously, you know, they may think to themselves that they're the only one with this problem, which is why they want to do it anonymously, and they're embarrassed about it. They don't want to talk to their doctor, but come to find out, we'll get like 25 responses of the same exact question. So
wow.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. And, you know, it's just a good thing to tell women that everyone goes through this stuff. So, you know, there shouldn't be any taboo around it. I mean, these topics need to be talked about. So that's what we did for this show. And then, you know, in the coming months, we want to, you know, reach out to more of our patients and women in the community and get even more specific on questions and help more people out.
And just if I could just circle back for 1 second, as we talked about Bladder Health Awareness Month, one of the things that we talked about at the very beginning was people don't want to talk about that, right?
Yep, exactly.
So you're giving people the opportunity with anonymity to ask a question and to be honest in their asking so that we can get things out in the open. Dr. Zaden, you had that great analogy of, remember when we didn't talk about breast cancer? I remember that. I'm old enough to remember that. Did not talk about it. I remember as a very young reporter doing interviews about breast cancer and having to ask my news director, is it okay if I do an interview about breast cancer? Because we have to say the word breast. So this is, you know, we need to open the doors and that's what, let the light in, right? So Jessica, do you have some of these questions? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, let's jump right in. You know, one of the most common questions we get is, you know, my periods hurt and sex hurts. What is going on with me? What is wrong with me? I shouldn't be experiencing this. And we also get this from a lot of different age ranges.
You want to be on
the hot seat, Dr. Zaden, so, and answer that.
Let me get this straight. You are going to give me ask the doc questions, and the first one you're going to ask me about is, do my periods hurt and sex hurts? That's what I got to talk about.
Let's
on the radio
right
with my listeners
you
at
yep.
You know, all my
right
friends are going to be listening to this, and they're going to be like, oh my God, he's talking about sex right now on the radio. I can't believe it. I'm going to get, you know, razzed everywhere about this. But, you know, what happens if, I mean, you know, you and I both know, right? We see this all the time. If your periods are painful, you could have something like endometriosis. If you have painful intercourse, it could be endometriosis. I mean, there's a lot of things that could be going on. So the first thing you need to do is get evaluated. And usually when these things happen, we typically draw your hormone levels depending on where you're at in your menstrual cycle, meaning that, you know, you could be premenopausal, or if you're not having periods anymore, we may check your hormones to determine that. And then also to evaluate with an ultrasound to make sure there's nothing else that's going on, you know, that might be causing the problem, like an ovarian cyst or those types of things. You know, nowadays we can really definitely find out why these things happen. But, you know, the only thing that hurts me, you know, hurts me myself is that you asked me that as the first question on this show. I'm not going to forget that.
No one said it's going to be easy, Dr. Zaden.
No, I know. It's never easy on the doc. It's always the doctor's fault. I get it.
So our biggest takeaway with that would be, you know, it is very common and they need to get some, you know, consults on it. And, you know, I know at Women's Excellence, we can do all that stuff in office and make it super easy for women. So
I would say, if I had to say one thing, don't accept it. If you have that, get in, get evaluated, and you can probably get treated. And if you're not getting the answers that you think you should get, and if, you know, the person that you're seeing isn't giving you those answers, you gotta get to somebody that's gonna help you out, because there's clearly reasons that people have these problems.
I really like that, the whole don't accept that, because, you know, we tend to do that as age goes on, like, oh, this is a normal part of aging. This is expected from being a woman, but it's not. So I really love that.
And Jessica, as you know, we joke about this being the first question out of the gate, but the fact is, it's a very common question. So
it is.
You're not alone in asking this question.
I hear it.
Justification to make me put on the hot seat. I get it.
Yep. That's us.
Let's move on to another question. And as I'm looking at this, you know, it kind of correlates with what we kind of talked about on this show. And, you know, just for example, on this one, it's, I'm jumping on the trampoline with my kids and I start leaking, or I'm lifting heavy groceries out of my trunk of my car and I start leaking. I have to run to the bathroom. What do I do about this? And it kind of goes back to what we were just saying. You know, some people just deal with it, but they don't have to.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get too funny, but I mean, you know, if you're jumping on a trampoline and you leak, you got to clean it up, right? So that's number one. But in all seriousness, I mean, that is what we just talked about on the show, right? It's stress urinary incontinence, and nobody should have to go through that now. The truth of the matter is stress urinary incontinence is very prevalent. I think I said that earlier. even on this show, where I said about 30% of all people have that condition as they age. And you know, that's very difficult. And it really impacts, you know, I see it in young moms. I mean, you know, people in their 30s and their 40s, you know, they want to jump with their kids. You know, I mean, I know I do this with my kids all the time, where they're jumping on a trampoline and, you know, I'm throwing them footballs in there and doing all kinds of stuff. And you know, you want to do these activities, but it's not limited to a trampoline. It's limited to, you know, it's if you go skiing, if you're anything, any sport that requires you to jump, or, you know, playing basketball with your kids, all those things. I mean, you start to change your activities. So what do? You go to your doctor and you get evaluated. You go to somebody who specializes in bladder control stuff and you get evaluated, because there are treatments for this. I mean, we can fix you. That's the bottom line.
I love that. We can fix you. That's that certainly is the great attitude. And we can fix you does not involve under disposable undergarments. In other words, we said that earlier. That's not the only solution, people.
That's like
stuff can be done.
That's the worst solution. You know, I mean, people wear theirs, and, you know, they always say that, you know, you fix one problem, you cause another, right? I mean, I see so many people with irritation and rashes, and they're more uncomfortable because they're wearing those things than they would be if they leaked, in some cases.
Jessica, quickly, let's get in question three, because we're near the end of the show.
Okay, perfect. So this one is interesting, but we get a lot of questions about it. And when you think about yourself, you know, you think about your hair, your skin, your nails, and your beauty, and that's kind of how you can become self-conscious if you're not liking how you look. Well, we're getting a lot of questions from women who don't like how they look down there. So I'm not sure if they're taking a hand mirror or something or what's going on there, but we're getting a lot of responses about it. And the awesome thing is, we do have solutions for those women.
Yeah, I know
question, it's a funny one.
I'm gonna go with I'm not sure that question number one was as bad now. So you know, but you know, the truth of the matter is that people are far more aware of their cosmetic appearance than they've ever been. Right? I mean, we see that because, you know, so many people are on Instagram, and, you know,
right,
they're looking at their face and all those types of things, and, you know, and you know, I think everybody has always looked at their own body for years. You know, I mean, that's not, you know, all the ages have done that, and every generation has done that. But now, you know, we're at the point where people are looking at every part of their body, and there's cosmetic procedures for everything. And there's things like labioplasties for people that have excessive, you know, tissue down below in the labia. And there's laser vaginal rejuvenation, and there's what we call perineoplasties, where we reconstruct the opening of the vagina. So people now want that tissue to look normal and feel normal, and we've got options for that. So, you know, again, we can fix it. I mean, there's not a problem fixing it, and in many cases, we can fix it so that people don't even really know that they had it done, because this tissue actually heals differently than the tissue on the outside skin, because it's not so keratinized, it doesn't necessarily scar. So when you fix it, it actually looks normal. So there's some really great things coming, you know, on that regard too. And you know, let's face it, I mean, I see women all the time who are not only self-conscious, but also, if that tissue has enlarged over time, or because you had children and so forth, sometimes it's uncomfortable because it creates friction. And those are things that we can correct as well. So, I mean, you know, all in all, I mean, you know, we can make it work for you.
Dr. Jonathan Zaden and Jessica Rousset, thank you so much again, as always, for joining us. Looking forward to more questions for Ask the Doc in coming shows. And we're glad you could join us today on the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. Dr. Zaden, I'm sure you agree, we want everyone to stay healthy as we start our holiday season.
Have a great holiday season.
The Healthy Woman Show has been presented by Women's Excellence.